It's great to see everybody here. Thank you so much for your attendance. If you are a guest who's visiting with us today, we really, really value that. And if you would fill out those visitor cards, we would love to make a record of your attendance. Even more than that, though, I'd love to be able to meet you, and I know members here of the Augusta Road Church would likewise enjoy meeting you and shaking hands, hugging, welcoming you to our service, and definitely, definitely inviting you back to be with us as often as you possibly can. This is the first day of May, May 1st, 2016. It is, it's hard to believe, right? It's this year has passed by so very quickly. The other day at the house, somebody mentioned the word Christmas. And I don't say that. Don't say that. It is coming fast. It's coming very quickly. And happy May. I'm excited about this month. The next Sunday is Mother's Day. Hope already that you're making your plans with Mom to be here worshiping us at this congregation. We would love to have you. For a really long time, May Day has been the recognized maritime distress call. And here's a fun fact. The name May Day has no connection to the month of May at all. The word May Day is, in our English language, something that sounds like a French word, as best as I could research it out. And so for that reason, in our English, it's adopted as May Day. And since 1927, this has replaced the Morse code SOS as the universal distress signal. And it's serious business. If someone is found signaling a false May Day, that is punishable by 6 years in jail, up to 6 years in jail. You might get lucky and not have to do all six, but don't try it. And or $250,000 fine. So sounding this distress call is serious business. And that's exactly what I want to do this morning. I want to sound a distress call, a May Day, in some very important areas where we need to realize the damage that is potentially on the horizon, where we need to realize the danger, and we need to respond. The first distress signal needs to come from the Lord's church, because there is some danger on the horizon for God's people if we're not careful. Now, let me go ahead and let you know how the story ends. We win if we belong to Jesus. That's the bottom line. If we are the Lord's people, if we are faithful to God, well, then we get to leave this life and go to heaven. That's great news. That's fantastic. And that's really the main thing to keep our eyes fixed on. But there are more short-term problems. There are some challenges that are off on the horizon just a bit before we make it to heaven, before we win the victory because of our Savior Jesus. There are some things that we need to be aware of. I shared some of these numbers in this morning's Bible class. By the way, you are more than welcome to join us for those Bible studies. We love having you and your family here with us for a period of Bible study. There are 2 million with an M, members of the Church of Christ on this planet. 2 million. I believe the Church of Christ is the Lord's true church. It is the church that Jesus said he would build. It is not denominational. It is the church that God sanctions. It's non-denominational. I think I might have already mentioned that. All other religious groups are planted by men. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, they will be rooted up in the last day. They're not going to last. The Lord's church, in beautiful contrast, though, will last. And the church will be saved in heaven. There are 2 million of us, members of the Church of Christ here on earth. 1.4 million of that 2 million number are in the United States, mostly concentrated in the southern portion of the United States. 2 million worldwide, 1.4 million here in a single country. And Speaking of worldwide, there are 7 billion people on the planet. That's quite a disparity. That's quite a gap in the numbers. We, as the church is the people, we need to make sure that we're doing what we can do to help the Lord's church, because the Lord's church needs the kind of help. This is kind of an intervention that we have for ourselves. We're throwing the intervention. We're also the subject of the intervention because we need to do something about that. And if you wonder who I'm talking about when I say we, go on to the internet, AugustaRoadCoc.org, AugustaRoadCoc.org, our new very nice webpage. And there on the front page, you'll see yourself right up here on this stage where I am now. That's the we I'm talking about. I'm talking about us. We, members of the Church of Christ, we have to do something about this because something has got to be done. The Lord came and built this church to last forever. And the church is always going to exist in God's mind. Even during dark periods of history, when traces of the church have kind of faded into the background and they're hardly recognizable, the Lord's church is always here because God's word is always here. And the church of Christ is born from these scriptures here. Jesus talks about building this church. It was a major, major focus of his. Everything that Jesus did, you can think of all of the things that Jesus did. He fed people, he healed people, he traveled, he did a ton of things. But all of those were supporting of his mission of seeking and saving the lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 is where Jesus announces, "I am come to seek and to save the lost." He wants all of those lost souls to be saved in his body, which is the church. The Bible lets us know in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that the Lord is the head of his church, which is his body. And then we stay right there in that same book, the book of Ephesians. We come to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, where we read, "There is one body," but wait just a minute. We read earlier that body is his church. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, we're reading that there's one body, that body's the church. There's one church that the Lord wants you and your families to be a member of. And that church needs help. That church needs work. That church needs people to encourage it. One of the things that really strikes me with those numbers we just shared, 2 million members of the Church of Christ in the world, 1.4 million of them here in one country, mostly concentrated in one region of the country. That tells me, man, we've got to work together. We have to help each other out. There's too few of us not to work together. There's too few of us not to encourage each other and lift each other up and not be pessimistic and not be a part of bringing down the Lord's body. People do this in a variety of ways, you know. A lot of people draw comparisons with a little edge to them. "Oh, I love this church over here. They're so great. They're so good. I wish we could be more like that." Have you ever heard something like that? Probably so. And your gut reaction's probably right. The person saying that is probably trying to get a dig in. The person saying that's probably trying to tear down a congregation, maybe the congregation that he or she belongs to, and instead say, "You know, we should be like another church. Or our youth group should be like another youth group. They're so great over here, and we're just blah." That is not conducive to building up the body. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side syndrome. You're familiar with that, right? It's this false idea, really, that says, hey, they are so much better than we are. The grass over there is way greener than it is over here. It's never the case. That's never the case. It's always the case that the grass is greener where you water it. The grass is greener where you work on it. And so if we do that as a local congregation of the Church of Christ, which we are here at Augusta Road, we do that here, we put our energies and our efforts here, we will see the Lord working through us right here. Busy people are seldom the ones who have time to whine and complain. Have you ever noticed that? When my children ages, well, this month they'll be 14 and 10, when they get complaining, when they get whining, you know what I usually do after a few minutes of that? I think of all the things that need to be done in the house, and I start giving out assignments. Hey, you, I see you have plenty of time to whine. How about you clean the baseboards? I see you have plenty of time to whine. How about you unload the dishwasher? How about you clean your room? And you know what happens? The whining stops. The whining stops. I've never really met a busy person who has time to whine and to tear others down. The Apostle Paul was magnificent in his treatment of issues such as this. He implores two members of the Philippi Church of Christ to be like-minded, to come together. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, Euodia and Syntyche, he encourages them to work together and accomplish so much more. Johnny Ramsey is a deceased gospel preacher. And I don't know whether or not this really happened. I like to think that it happened because of the happy ending that it has. And knowing what I've heard about Brother Ramsey, it probably did happen. He struck a lot of people as this kind of soul. He was out visiting one day as a minister, and he visited an older lady, we'll call her, and she was at home where she lived by herself. And soon into the visit between her and Brother Ramsey, she was complaining. Nobody comes to see me. Nobody calls me. Nobody sends me cards. I just don't understand why there's not more going on there at that church. I just don't understand why there's not more of a connection being made. And right about here, Brother Ramsey, the story goes, says, "Lady, I don't want to hear any more of this. You are a part of what's wrong." I've never said that to somebody, especially in their house. "You are a part of what's wrong," he said. "What you need to do is you need to bake a pie or a cake or something and take it to somebody else and have a visit and give that to them." And he left. You know, probably a good time to leave. So he left. And the lady at first, story goes, was very angry. You know, how dare he talk to me like that? So, like a lot of good endeavors begin, she decided she was going to do what he said and prove him wrong. She made a cake or a pie or whatever it was she made and found someone in the church directory that she could go share that with and have a visit with. And guess what? That was, by her accounts, as the story goes, that was one of her happiest days as a member of that church. She later picked up the phone and called Brother Ramsey and said, "I was mad at you when you left. I took your advice in spite, and I want you to know it made a big, big difference. I loved that time of visiting, that time of activity, that time of fellowship and camaraderie." That's a great thing, right? We need to realize that we all have it within ourselves to be a part of the solution that we know this world needs. We need to be members of the church who get to work, who get along, who get back to the Bible. Listen, this Bible is the rule for our life. I'm talking about us all coming together and building each other up. That can only be done if we rally around the Bible. That can only happen. This unity that is so magnificent and desired and key for evangelism. You remember in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to his Father, and Jesus prays that we might all be one, and he prays for us all to be one so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So our unity is a sign, John chapter 17, verse 8, that Jesus is from God. Jesus says that if we're united, if we're on the same page biblically, then that will attract people to the Lord's church. I definitely believe that's the case. You know, a number of studies are being conducted right now targeting people who are not members of any kind of church. And you know, over and over again, these studies are finding that people, they're called the unchurched. And studies are finding that these folks who are without religious affiliation, they're craving something substantial. They want doctrine. They want sermons that draw a line and take a stand. And unfortunately, a lot of churches are watering down their message so that they can be cross-platform, so that they can have appeal to all comers. And ironically, and it's kind of sad, although it's destined to be this way because of the nature of denominationalism, the people that they want to attract are not attracted by that nonsense. They want real preaching. They want real beliefs. We're studying religious beliefs here Wednesdays at 7. And I want to invite you to this week's class at 7 o'clock here Wednesday night, where we will be studying Calvinism. And that is a doctrine that needs our attention. We need to study it together. We're going to be doing that here. Won't you please come support that class and be our guest? Because the church needs help. God has everything under control. I don't want you to get that confused. God has everything under control, but part of God's plan is for us to support the church and the works of the church and build it up so that it can reach the potential that God has for it here on earth. Another thing that needs some help, a distress signal needs to come out from families. Families need help. Families need attention. I'm sure you're well aware of that. God made the family. God has a plan for the family. God made the family by himself. God made the family for himself. God made us so that we can glorify him. Some of that plan that God has for the family is in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees come to Jesus as they typically did, tempting him, asking a question about divorce. Jesus answers Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. Matthew 19, verse 4. Have you not read, he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Explains itself, doesn't it? But I'll call your attention to that fact. God made them male and female and said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. A marriage, a family, is a man and a woman who have left father and mother and joined themselves to one another. A man and a woman, not a man and a woman and his parents and her parents. Not a man and a woman and all the in-laws every time he does something I don't like, or every time she doesn't cook like mama used to cook. Not a man and a woman and their whole entourage, their whole teams of supporters. Not that, no. A man and a woman figuring it out together, figuring out how to raise a family, how to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. A man and a woman who come together in that stage of their life and understand that what they have is a family that God wants to see flourish. God wants to see grow and glorify him. It's okay to get help, of course. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But we need to understand that this is serious. We have a marriage here, and this marriage depends a whole lot on us. I mean, the stakes are high. We need to make this thing be what God wants it to be. And what God wants it to be is ably described in Scripture. The husband is the head of his wife. All of us fellas know that verse, don't we? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22. That's a favorite of some guys. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. See there? Well, it goes on. Don't close the Bibles yet, gentlemen. It goes on. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church. You notice in this text, classically thought to be about marriage, they were talking a whole lot about the church. That's on purpose. The older I get, hopefully the wiser I get, although some days I'm not so sure, the more I see everything that I've learned about the church, everything that I've learned about the church lays over like a transparency sheet, an old-fashioned transparency sheet, lays over the message about the family. And Paul says so here. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. We've mentioned this more than once here at the Augusta Road Church, and God willing, we'll mention it more times in the future because it's that important. This is a great mystery, Paul writes, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So Paul's message was to preach about the church, and the way that Paul best finds to do that, Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit, yes, of course. And the best way for the Holy Spirit inspiring the Apostle Paul to write about Christ and the church is to write about the family, the husband and the wife, the way that should happen. It continues into chapter 6 when children enter the picture. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. If you go on to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AugustaRoadCOC. We have a nice Facebook page there that we update regularly, and you can find all of these internet addresses on the cover of our bulletin. Take that and look us up online. But if you go to our Facebook page and you see a post from just a couple of weeks ago, April 19th, I took a picture of a sign that I saw and posted that picture on our Facebook page. And it says, children, do come with an instruction manual. It's called the Bible. That caught my eye. That sign, by the way, was not at a church. Not at a religious institution of any kind at all. That was at a car washing place. I stopped there to ask the guy about washing my dirty car, and I saw the sign and took a picture of it. We talked about it a little bit, and I posted that on our Facebook page. That picture is far and away the most popular post we have ever made on our Facebook page. It has been seen. Facebook analytics are a little funny, but Facebook tells us it has been seen by 4,600 plus people. It's been shared 65 times. I hope you'll go to our Facebook page, look at it, share it on yours, so that even more people can see it, so that they'll know that the family is hurting. Yes, that's true. The family's hurting, but God has the answer. God has the answer for the problems that the modern day family faces. God always has the answer. We just need to send the distress call, receive help from the Lord, and apply that help to our situation. The church needs to do this. The family needs to do this. How about number three, real quick on this one? The whole world. The whole world is in distress. And the sad part is they don't even know it. We sometimes, when we pray and talk about this, talk about a lost and dying world. That has become some of our shorthand to express the situation. And if you really focus on those words, as I did the other day when someone said them in a prayer, I thought how perfect they are to describe the situation. A lost and a dying world. This planet needs help. This world needs help. Earlier in our service, it was read from John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. God loves this world. For whatever reason, He does. He does. He loves us. And He wants us to be saved. Believe me, He wants us to be saved so badly that He gave His Son to die for that purpose. He wants us to be saved, but there are so many people out there who don't even acknowledge the need for salvation. They think everything's fine. They think nothing's wrong, and that's the biggest tragedy of all. These people in droves are going to die and appear before the Lord in judgment, only to be found that they've wasted their opportunity, they've squandered their soul. No matter what you've ever lost, I've lost a lot of things. No matter what you've ever lost and the value attached to those things that you've lost, nothing will hurt as badly as losing your soul. Don't lose your soul. Please, don't lose your soul. You don't have to lose your soul. You can make sure that you're saved. The Lord has a plan for you. He has a plan for this whole world to be saved. And it begins with hearing His word. This is how faith comes, Romans 10:17. And then believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is what God wants. But God wants more because He wants you to be baptized. We talked about that this morning in Bible class and how important baptism is. It's very important to God. Even if we don't understand why, we know the simple words of Mark 16:16, which says, "He who believes," now watch the rest of it, "he who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Have you done that? If not, we would be thrilled to help you today. If you're ready to be baptized, we're definitely ready to help you with that. As a member of the Lord's church, though, the church of Christ, remember point number one, we need to work because the church needs help. The church needs workers. The church needs you and me building it up. Are you doing that? If not, you can repent of any sin that may be separating you from God. We ask you to respond so that we can help. We're not keeping score on anything. That's not what we do. We want you to respond to this invitation so that we can be there for you to support. If you need prayers, great. We would love to pray with you. We're happy to do that. If you need to be baptized, that's great too. We would love to help. Why not respond now as we stand and sing, "Won't You Come, Please?"
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.